Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Joining us today from Yahoo Sports and the NFL Network. Is that why you wanted to do this on Friday? Is that you could tell everybody that you're going to be on the NFL Network this year, Nate Tice?
That's it. It was, I had to sit on that for like 6 weeks, more than that. And it's just, and I kept going like, this is still happening, right? Like that you guys just like, oh no.
Signed the thing, yeah.
I did the whole thing. Or is that just somebody, some rando? Was it MFL or something that sent me that email? No, I'm very, very excited. I'm glad it finally cat's out of the bag with it. It's pretty fired up. I'm also more keen on doing more cardio now because the cameras
be
do
on,
it.
On television.
The cameras do add 10
as someone who does works in the sports performance weightlifting world, lift weights. Don't worry about the cardio. Just
weights.
A little bit more. Get the
it's
muscles
my
going.
Jowl. I have the jowl check. It's like every day. That's how I can always.
Chest and shoulders. It'll shape everything up. That's my.
I do need to do shoulders. As someone that's went from like mostly lifting in my life, former playing days, with some healthy cardio to mostly cardio, which is a little lifting. It's weird to see how clothes fit me differently because my shoulders just aren't as broad.
You no longer have to be quarterback sized.
Yeah. And the weight from, it's the same weight. It's just different shape now.
Yeah.
It went from healthy and like my glutes to my gut now. And it's same. Everyone's like, what do you weigh now? Same weight, 230, 228. Doesn't look like it. Just a little different. You look skinnier though. It's like, yeah.
Thanks. So Nate, and we'll see how the shoulder workouts go. He'll be on the NFL Network this season.
Well, sorry, short. Be on the NFL Network.
He'll be on the NFL Network, and of course, you can catch him all the work he's doing at Yahoo Sports. I've known Nate for about a year now. Had him on a bunch in the draft process. We had him on Take Command. It was great to be with him out in Vegas at Super Bowl and doing stuff out there on Radio Row and Combine and the whole deal. So great to have Nate back on the show. We're going to do basically Nate's favorite stuff today. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, and then we're going to talk a little scheme because Nate has been doing some work on kind of the scheme trends in 2024. And so I want to see where Cliff Kingsbury's offense and Joe Witt's defense fit in those. But we have now seen Jaden Daniels in preseason. I've obviously gotten a chance to see him a ton in training camp. I'm curious what you have seen from Jaden and how that compares, contrasts with kind of what you thought he was coming out. The sample size is still very small, but what have you seen from Jaden Daniels so far?
Yeah, I got to be honest, actually. When I talked to you guys at the Combine and you asked what quarterback would fit in the Cliffs offense, I pride myself on always having some answer in my brain somewhere. It might take me a minute to get there, but I will have an answer. And that one of all the questions I probably got in the spring, I let it marinate for a while.
Yeah.
And now once I see this preseason happen, I'm like, oh, Jaden Daniels, this is a great fit. Even if to me, what some of the stuff Cliff does is not ideal of how I kind of want my NFL offenses. Everybody has just their own version of everything. He prides himself on quick game, 3-by-1 formations, meaning just, three guys to one side, an isolated receiver to one side, receiver staying on the same side, Terry on the left, and I believe Diami Brown was on the right for some of the time. I have like 2 shares of Diami Brown still somewhere. I'm pretty happy that he's getting some playing time. But is you see Jayden Daniels, it allows him to operate quickly. These are all concepts he's run like a million times before. This is what people were saying. Oh, he's the most pro prepared. And I kind of follow. I always kind of fight that stigma a little bit because like people are saying that about Bo Nix because he's older too. And then I watch him. I'm like, missing like easy reads.
How I think people say that about guys who are closer to their ceiling. It's like, oh, he's the most pro ready. And it's like, okay, he's the least amount to grow. Yes. And I think that's the fun thing about Jayden is I think he is both actually what it should mean to be pro ready and also has room to grow.
It's his maturity. Everything is calm. Like, and I think everyone keeps saying that. Everyone says it's you know, palpable. Even when I just watch him on film, everything is calm. He's handling protections and, or at least is aware of them, of what like play changes and everything. And these are just things I'm reading between the lines when I'm watching him in the preseason. He changed the one play, the one vertical play he had this preseason. When I could tell he went rogue there, because going 5 verts out of empty is not usually in the normal play menu there, but that shows the confidence he has. He's like, I know what to do here. Right or wrong, he's doing it fast. And I'd much rather have that than someone that I could tell their head is spinning. And so whether there's how much ceiling there is to tap in this offense, we'll see. I think that's what happened with Cliff, with Kyler Murray. They kind of reached their limit together. Is Jayden going to be different? I think there's different possibilities with Jayden because of his accuracy, because of what I think Cliff likes to do. He wants to be quick, 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 fast, fast. Whether it's 10 personnel with 4 receivers, whether it's bubbles and flats, whether it's crossers. Daniels fits that perfectly with the occasional deep shot. So I just kind of was like, yeah, real long-winded way to say that I finally have an answer to your question back from late February that I've been thinking on for about 5 months now. I want you to know that. Seriously.
The old 5-month-long interview. I didn't know it was still ongoing. Here we go. All right. Well, that's it for Nate. We'll see you guys.
Dot, dot, dot. And then this is the following ellipses. I love it.
The thing that I've mentioned this a couple of times on the show, and people are like, we get it. You had Orlovsky on the week of the draft, and he told you this. But one thing that Dan said was that he thought Jaden's eyes were the best in a draft. And that was something that I hadn't heard a ton of yet to that point for all of the draft work that we had done and all the different people that we interviewed. And I think we've seen that in the preseason. And I'm curious if that is something that you saw in the process or maybe you think of differently now, because I think... My question always was, okay, some of the stuff that people say he can't do, is it can't do or is he not doing it because he had neighbors and Brian Thomas and like, why would you throw over the middle when those two dudes are outside? The talent disparity was just so wide. It's like, what do? You throw a touchdown to the Brian Daboll Hard Knocks clip, right? But now we see that there's a lot more meat on that bone, and at least in what I've seen in training camp. I'm curious what you've seen in terms of his processing and some of the things that were maybe question marks that have been answered so far in this preseason.
I think what Dan and I would agree, and we all articulate it differently, you know. And then like for me, and this is what it's also like kind of I could have a whole article about this too, about like how people, okay, it's called this. And it's like, well, there's 5 different ways to call the same thing. When I was saying kind of like calm and confident, that's eyes is kind of a part of that as well. Like that's knowing where to go, looking at the deep safety, looking at going 1-2 on some concepts. Why you felt so many like maybe hitches and stuff on the outside. And even if that was a complaint, I would say, yeah, a little knock I had him coming out of college. Was that's the offense, is they have a 3-man concept on one side and then they play iso ball with the lone receiver. You have to have dudes to do that. Terry at the very least can do it, and we'll see with Brown and Zacchaeus, who's like a folk hero to me, so it's great to see that he's getting some run. But whoever it is gonna be on the outside, I think it is Diami Brown, but is that okay, their read is that if I get single high, I can take that if I like it. So if I think I have some bad corner on one of these guys, all right, just take it all day. So it is good that he's boom. And that's the eyes element of that he's confident, sees that he's got single high, confirms it, and goes to that isolated read. I would say the one time he got caught this preseason was against the Dolphins, and they threw a knuckleball at him. And it was the one where he kind of threw that fade to nobody to the outside. Yep. It wasn't to nobody, but it was
I threw it over Terry's head out of bounds.
Over his head. It was because he
wound up working the wrong side of the field.
He realized he misread it, and he was like, all right, that's digging it, you know, getting rid of it, burning it, whatever you want to say. And that was just getting caught. And that's, again, I got to see that once it's week 3, week 4, week 1 against Todd Bowles, because that's that's the NFL difference, is those third down plays where you get the craziest stuff you've ever seen in your life and you just have to find a read. So I'm kind of talking about both sides of my mouth, where it's like the stuff that he is confident in, which I think is a good portion of this offense, what it's going to be. Eyes are great, confidence is great, and again, it's palpable. Like if you're a teammate and you're like just trying to learn, okay, but if the quarterback is like, hey, you got this, hey, I know this, hey, you were wrong here, that helps everybody out. That's a booster effect on everybody else. It's just that I still have to see the third down stuff, the crazy blitz stuff, whether he hangs in the pocket, you know, still remains to see that. But he has answers, and it's cool to see a young guy have answers so early. And actually, and I'll just say, like, about other quarterbacks in this class, is like, I've been pretty impressed, even in guys like Nix or Penix, who I was lower on, is JJ McCarthy as well, is that all those guys have handled their offenses very in a mature way. And it's been really cool to see. And you never know if that's a blip of this class or if this is a trend with just quarterbacks in general, but it's just that that's been, if two or three of these guys hit, it's great for the NFL, because it's just, it's been really cool to see how mature all these guys are. So even the younger guys like May and Caleb Williams too.
For sure. Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports, NFL Network, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And the one reservation that I'm kind of keeping in my back pocket as a just in case for all these guys is, has the preseason just gotten so freaking vanilla that nothing, like, this is all fool's gold? And it's not going to be fool's gold for all of them. Some of these guys are going to be great. I'm pretty sure of that. And it definitely looks like there is a command and a control for, like you said, pretty much every single one of these first round, these six guys.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot easier to have command, calm, control when you're not actually getting anything sophisticated thrown at you. And none of the highest caliber players in the league are on the other side.
And that's why that third down against the Dolphins is like, I have to mention that, because that was the most real look that he saw.
Right, and for that, sure. But I will say, Logan does a show with DQ, and he taped it yesterday, and we were talking about it on our podcast after he had taped it. And he said that was actually like one of their favorite plays to talk about, because Daniels realized he made the mistake so quickly and made sure it didn't become a catastrophic mistake. And that is a huge thing for quarterbacks. I remember when Cousins went through this, he went from his mistakes being incompletions or interceptions to incompletions. And it's like, we can live with incompletions.
That's it. It's, you can't make a bad play worse. That is the ultimate NFL quarterback adage. It's, hey, if it's a bot snap, just get on the ball. Hey, if a guy ran a wrong route, dig it or check it down. Don't go, hey, get mad and try to force it in there. And that's why I want to bring up that play, was that he dug it.
Right.
I keep using that term, but threw it away. But I don't want to say it's like, oh, threw it away in a bad way. He also moved away from a pressure on that. Mm-hmm. I think a guy was coming free on him. And again, that's what the growth I want to see with Daniels is, that it's working to throw as opposed to just immediately going to scramble mode. That's going to be key to him have a successful long career. And again, these are the little things you try to take away from these preseason games. It's not the stats. It's not, you know, just one, like the highlight go ball throws. It's just these little in between minutia things. And again, it's been positive for Daniels, and I think a couple other guys too.
Nate's going to stick with us. And after the break, we're going to get into his trends of 2024 in the NFL and how the Commanders fit in with them. Nate Tice with us on the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Zoffman Show, we're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And yeah, you can watch us on YouTube if you like at the Team 980 as we bring back in our pal Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports and the NFL Network. Something that he's been working on, the scheme trends of 2024. Offensively, like, what do you think is, I feel like we're doing a fashion show. Hey, what's in this year, Nate? What's in 2024 for scheme and is some of the stuff that Cliff Kingsbury likes to do in, so to speak?
Yeah, what I would say with Cliff stuff is the run game stuff is that was one of the highlights of those Cardinals offenses with and without Kyler Murray, even just using other guys, was the run game would be pretty creative because they'd be in spread formation so much that they kind of had to, and the use of personnel. I'm really high on John Bates, by the way. Like,
this will shock you, but Paulson loves that dude. A wide tight end that just mashes his face mask into people.
The son of a wide tight end, by the way. Yes. Me. Like, yes, these are probably what I should have been, not a quarterback, but it's like that is talk about weight. I should have just bulked up, I thought he had a great preseason. I've been a fan of him, you know, for a while, but like, he's really coming to, like, he's like a weapon in the run game. So, but tight ends is kind of a trend. It's always a trend, but I think what's kind of, I think coaches have become really understanding of limitations of these more receiving only tight ends, the 230, 245 pound types, and not going, hey, like old coaches used to be like, why don't you block? We're going to run behind you. Why aren't you blocking this defensive end? Now coaches, Ben Johnson with Laporta last year is a great example. Dalton Kincaid with the Bills last year. These guys getting used as decoys, getting used in RPOs, getting used as arc blockers, getting used where they switch roles with the offensive linemen. So using tight ends in different ways in motion a ton is using them motion to block as opposed to motion just to pass and everything. That's kind of been a trend I've really seen. And I've seen just each kind of proliferating where coaches are getting more and more creative with it and going like, oh, let's try it with this. I think the Dolphins are a great example of that. The Cardinals are a great example of that. Kingsbury doesn't use a ton of motion, but the run game, newish run game that's kind of getting dripped in here, some college elements, he does do that, especially with the quarterback run game. We saw the touchdown with Jane Daniels against
played for the Jets.
Oh, Jets. Thank you. They all blend together. On that one, that's going to be a very popular run now. We've seen it in the NFL recently, but I think now because there's more running quarterbacks, more coaches that know how to block it up against real looks, I think that's a play you're going to see a ton of. I call it duo read, I think there's different terms for it, but it's just an at-you run. They're reading the front side defensive end. He crashes down, the quarterback keeps it. You saw it on the touchdown, worked out perfectly. John Bates had an amazing block.
He sure did.
Had to give him a shout out on it. So I think that's one play that you'll see a lot is that quarterback run game. I want Jaden to get down still.
Nate. So
oh my God, Dan Quinn on the one was so, you can just tell he's like, golly, like, God, like, why, man, I talked to him. But that whole stuff is, I feel like it's kind of passe to be like, oh, tight ends, but I think there is a element of how tight ends are being used. It's different than how Logan got used, where it's just down block
for sure. Boom.
It's more creative. Hey, block linebackers, block safeties, guys that are more the same build. So I just really like that. I'm trying to think defensively. And
well, I'll say real quick before we get to the defensive side, one thing that definitely caught my eye very early in this Commanders team building process, and this was actually the earliest because he's the first guy to sign. When Ertz was like, I'm in, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because for those that don't know, like Zach and obviously his wife, Julie, who just gave birth to twins, congrats to the Ertzes. Like, they are West Coast people. Like, Julie, when she resumed her playing career, went to LA. Zach, like, moved to Phoenix for a reason to play for Arizona. And, you know, he obviously went to Detroit, you know, at the end of the year last year. And it's one thing if you're going to kind of chase a ring. Yeah. But to the fact that they were like, nah, we'll up and move, especially if they knew at the time they had twins coming, to up and move to Washington, D.C. and make a commitment like that, that told me a lot about how Zach thinks of Cliff and Zach as a tight end thinks of Cliff. And right. So I think like that is, you know, talk about, hey, this is a guy that's not going to make me go block a defensive end. He's going to use me the way that I am best used. And he has been, I know you haven't really had a chance to see this because I didn't see you out at, I don't think you made your way out to Ashburn road trip. We've gotten a chance to see it in practice, and Zach didn't play any in the preseason games. That dude is catching everything. He just knows how to get open. He's all over the place. So I'm really glad you brought up the tight ends thing because I think it is going to be a huge part of what they do that we haven't even fully seen yet, even if we saw enough for you to have a love affair with John Bates.
I'm saying Ben Sinnott, right? And that is
Sinnott.
God, see, I was right. That's the thing.
People correct me.
And I'm like, okay, they're correcting me. They sound confident.
Nope, it's Senate. Which works here in D.C. It's kind of, it's close enough to Senate that it's just Senate. Yeah, that's the way I remember it because I'm a nerd, Nate.
The senator. Yeah, the senator. Yes. There we go.
Now we're going.
Yeah, now we're going. We'll go mythology. Even him who, like, ideal, he's not a perfect tight end. He's not a perfect fullback. He's kind of a little bit do it all. I've kind of thought of him as like a real super version of Noah Gray, who's with the Chiefs, who does everything for the Chiefs. Hey, you're tight end this play. Hey, you're a blocking tight end. Hey, move around. Hey, split out. This offense is perfect for him. Because again, they're not going to ask him, hey, down block. Hey, kick out the DN. You already see him in preseason getting some creative looks too. So I really like this kind of wave of this next wave of coaches. Cliff, I'll include with it, but guys that are kind of being more expansive with their stuff. Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator with the Cardinals, is another guy I'm very high on. And that's because he's doing the exact same stuff with it. They're going to have a bunch of tight end stuff with Trey McBride and Tip Ryman, who they drafted, and creatively using those guys and manipulating the defense and everything. So that whole, like, it's easier said than done. So it's nice to see guys actually doing it and then like not just going, we're using tight ends, and then you never see them. So it's nice to actually see proof of concept. And again, the old Cardinals, new Cardinals, and now Washington, I think all handle it very well.
Yeah, and that's probably why they wind up keeping four, by the way. But you want to say, get Paulson excited. Right? Fourth tight end out of UCLA, UDFA making the team. Let's go, Colson Yankoff. All right, Nate Tice from the NFL
Network.
They're
talking to you guys too much. Sports. That's what it is. They're just getting influenced
by you
guys.
They don't listen to me, Nate. Good gracious. Come on. Don't make me reality check myself. So those are the offensive trends. What about the defensive side of the football? Nate Tice sticking with us here on the Hoffman Show for one more segment, defensive trends and more. What's the tie that binds them all together? That's next here on the Team 980. We're brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Yahoo Sports, NFL Network, Nate Tice with us. All right, scheme trends defensively.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll see what twist that Joe Witt Jr. has as he's the DC. We know Dan Quinn is going to have a huge influence. But what are we seeing in the league? And then how does kind of the principles of what those guys do fit with what we think is working right now in the NFL?
You drafted a slot that matches what everyone else is doing right now. And oh my God, this is another one I've been correct on. Mike Sainristil.
Sainristil.
Oh, God damn. but okay. See, I get so good with these names in April for the draft, and then they just
say your old colleague Brugler, that draft, the beast, the draft guide. That is where my go to. If I need a name pronunciation, just go in. Dane's got it all.
Dane's the best. And that is it really is a godsend. But he is a trend in himself. What the guys that used to be tweeners, maybe they're not this. He's a do-it-all slot. And those guys that can blitz, can play man coverage, can just fit up in the run, even if they're not the biggest players in the world. That is a trend. Like, everybody has to have a slot now because, one, your main plays are going to be sub-personnel, nickel and dime. So you need a fifth DB. And that fifth DB is going to be involved in a lot of plays. Probably going against this Washington offense, tackling bubbles and fitting up in the run and all these types of looks. So him in itself is a trend. And I would say, there's over 20 of these guys that are either first, second, or third years in the league that are the slots, because this is what's happening in college right now. No, that's a fun position to watch. I would also say something that Dan Quinn evolved to in Dallas is becoming a trend, which is he was a Seattle guy. Cover one, cover three, cover one, cover three. That's all they did. Couple blitzes. Then he gets to Dallas and it's cover one, but then a lot of cover two and a lot of mix up and a lot of like funky looks out of cover two, different guys in different spots, different X's on the chalkboard, moving in different spots, but still getting the cover two. Some call that non-traditional two. I've been calling them unconventional two because I just want to use the acronym U2. And I think seriously, man, I get bored in my office. I'm like, yeah, that works. U2. And that's, I think is again, proliferating throughout the league. That is a lot of people using funky looks and then getting to cover two, which is a safer coverage. That's coverage that makes quarterbacks work. So because they have to, you know, to beat cover two, you either have to check it down over the middle of the field or push it on digs and benders and corners and big boy throws. So if you bring a funky simulated look, which is rushing four, but, you know, looking like a blitz or bringing a blitz or looking like you're bringing like a blitz and making the quarterback hold on to the ball that extra second, gets a pass rush home. Dan Quinn's already had that in his bag for the last couple of years in Dallas. And I think there's been some misconception that's like, oh, they ran man coverage every play because they're lazy. And there's some wildness to Dan Quinn's game, but he also was doing some really cool stuff with the cover two stuff. So whoever, I know he's going to have some influence on the plays, but I think that whoever's calling plays with Joe Witt and everything is that they're going to be running that because that's what I think a lot of teams are going to be leaning into a lot more this year, especially. So it's like, it's cover two is back. Zone runs are back, or not zone run. Duo is back. Like those plays, which is 2002 football, is back.
It's so cyclical.
It's tight ends. It's like, yeah, baby.
Which makes sense because like you, the league does something, you react. Now there's a new weakness to exploit. Offenses change. Defenses are like, oh, well, now we got to cover that. And eventually it just works its way in a circle of like, oh, we need bigger players, smaller players. And, or we got to prevent, you know, we're playing cover two. Okay, well, now the holes are here. We're going to play some more three and one and, you know, trap and all these kinds of things. And the one thing that I will say, speaking of your old colleagues, Mays's interview with McVay was so good and so insightful. And Sean kind of verbalized something that I think has become the modus operandi of the league, which is explosives are king. Offensively, everything we're trying to do is figure out how to manufacture explosive plays. And defensively, we could play well on 97% of snaps, but if those 3% are explosive, we're going to lose, and we're going to lose by a lot. And so I think that part of this is those safer coverages, those two looks, you know, whether it's two, whether it's quarters, deeper stuff down the field to prevent explosives is exactly that. Everyone's just trying to prevent explosives, and offensively, they're trying to figure out how can we get explosives. And sometimes it's in the run game too. Like, let's use these tight ends in creative ways to see if we can get someone on the second level, get that second block, and launch someone into the third level of the defense. You know, these skilled running backs that we got, because there's too many of them in the league. But that, to me, like, it all, like, the principle at the center of all of this that is clearer than it's ever been is generate explosives offensively, prevent them defensively, and how you do that is going to change based off what the other one is doing.
He's with New Mexico now. Rocky Long? No, Bronco. No, not Rocky
Bronco
Long.
Bronco Mendenhall?
Thank you. Yeah, Virginia. Yes. So obviously you have experience in the area around him. He did a clinic years ago, and this is all hearsay for me, so I might be butchering it, but Paul Crist, who's a big mentor for me, relayed this, and he said, they think it's a win if you go to the spot they want you to, meaning the weakness of the coverage, meaning if it's cover two, that's the check down. Or if it's cover four, that's the 5 to 6 yard areas, like little hitch areas, or the flats, because he's saying, okay, we will let you nickel and dime. And so it's always the zag. Do what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to have explosives. Well, find every freaking way to get explosives. Don't fall into their hands of, okay, nickel and dime.
Basically, don't take what the defense gives you.
Yes, exactly. You want to lean into the punch. You want to do whatever idiom you want to use. You want to do the zag of what they want to do. And actually, that's a whole scheme thing too, is that once something becomes the meta, becomes the major of the entire league, well, then those types of players, that type of scheme becomes, you know, it's a little too much. It becomes saturated. So then, you know, this is the whole Seahawks thing of the 2010s was how they built the Legion of Boom. Well, we got Richard Sherman with long arms. And he's 6'3", and we got Bobby Wagner, who's too short for a lot of guys, but he had long arms and was fast. Like, you find the money ball of everything. But yeah, same. I think that line of thinking sometimes applies to, yeah, it's judo, I guess, you know, like if they're trying, you know, throw with them, like you go against what they're trying to do. But to do that, you have to manufacture it with plays, which is either shot plays or it's a way to create yards after the catch. That's why I'm a big proponent of guys thrown over the middle, is because that's the easiest area for it. Shanahan offenses can manufacture that as well. Or you got to have a dude at quarterback that's willing to launch some stuff. So again, this is why a lot of my thinking with quarterbacks is it's not the big arm of throwing it 60 yards, 70 yards. It's the arm that can drive it 22 yards on a straight line, on a missile. That's arm strength to me. Anyone can throw a deep ball. So guys like in this class that were all willing to throw benders and stuff, that's why it's like that's going to be available, but you have to do it. Like they want you to try and do it because not a lot of quarterbacks are willing to do it. So I don't know what metaphor is perfect for this. I'm going to go with judo. I think judo.
Sure.
Jiu-jitsu?
I don't know.
I live in the capital of MMA, and I should know this way better than I do.
Judo, you're throwing people. Jiu-jitsu, you're like striking people and then trying to choke them.
Yeah, maybe so, JJ. I would say judo. I'll go with judo.
Okay. It's judo.
Kind of leaning with it. Yeah.
The one thing I will say on Jaden and Cliff and kind of where they fit into this, the one thing that I've really enjoyed from the preseason from them is kind of the situational awareness that they seem to have to the game. And that includes on third downs, like, let's get vertical. I hate, like, to your point, right? It's third and 12. Yeah, they're going to give you the 7-yard check down. And sometimes that's what you got to do. And you guys got to live with the kick. But like, they will try to find the vertical shots on third down, and especially depending on where they are in the area of the field. Like, yes, on a third and 12 at the, let's call it the 40, the plus 40, we want the 7 yards because that's an easier field goal. Like, and Jaden did that, the one opportunity that he had in the preseason. But if you're in punting territory, why not just arm punt on third down? And you can get a PI, that's a first down. You get a completion, that's better. If it's picked off, who cares? If it's incomplete, you're punting anyway. And so one thing that I have liked about that is like, I think we're going to see once they get into the season, obviously, and they open up the scheme in a way they just didn't in preseason, but we got to see some of in training camp. We'll see how often Jaden throws those benders, those deep in breakers, things like that. But I think he's more capable than perhaps we realized coming out of LSU because he didn't have to at LSU. But what I do appreciate is that deep ball that they know that he's money on, they're going to make sure that he gets the opportunities. And that's both him, because he's not afraid to throw it, and Cliff situationally. And it's also a chance to generate explosives that are, I don't want to say it's like automatic, we're throwing it no matter what. They're not going to be like, hey, yeah, throw it to Terry in triple coverage. But they know their offensive line is only so good. I'll phrase it that way. And deep balls can get out quickly. And Jaden has the touch and the accuracy to give guys chances on that. And I think situationally they'll set him up. So I am curious to see, one, some of those benders and some of those, like, I dare you two throws. Will Jaden do it? But they will also get vertical and try to create shots in other ways that are tied to his skill set that I'm really excited about to see if that continues in the way that it did in training camp. Because otherwise we have what we had last year, Nate, which was, man, this offense has got a shot. And it turns out it's because they were facing the worst defense in the league every day.
Where it looks great every single day. It's, you know, it's a great point you're bringing up. And this is something I kind of, this is the Knicks argument or argument against Bo Nix was you have to try. It's the denominator that's so important with these things. It's the Jimmy G deep ball stat. Oh, he's the best deep ball thrower. Yeah, he's only doing it once a game. It's got to be once a quarter. You have to at least threaten the defense. You have to at least put in their head, yeah, he's not going to hit all of them, but shoot, I got to stay back. Safeties now are asked to do more than they ever have, and I'm willing to say that. And now, but that means they have to come up. They have to go back. They have to get deep. They have to, you know, rotate with the different motions and everything. Well, you got to put them in a bind. Like if they're going to be doing all that, threaten them. And how you threaten them is with the deep ball. It's the classic. That's the classic way. And the other classic way is pounding the frickin' rock. And which is, again, I think this has been misconstrued with the Cliff Kingsbury offense. That's going to be a huge component of this offense and a good component of this offense, even without Jane Daniels. I'm just, even including just a straight run game, is that's what this, the threat of everything else they do with all the spread formations and the speed down the field is the run game opens up. And Robinson's a good hammerhead for that. Eckler's a nice spell for it. So also Brown and Scary Terry are like perfect for that verticalness. Like they are best as vertical stretchers. So it's, yeah. Again,
and they bring in Noah Brown, who's hopefully going to get healthy quickly.
Nice dirty work guy.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys I like. I love Zaccheaus. Like Jamison Crowder, I still have nightmares from at Duke. I was at Pitt and he had, oh my God, watch that game. 2013, Duke versus Pitt at Duke.
Watch what Tower, Jamison did to you guys.
Jamison Crowder, Tyler Boyd, and Aaron Donald. And we had another receiver had a good game, but that was like, it was a star making performance by everybody. But all these guys, I mean, shoot, Pringle, Luke McCaffrey, every guy you go down on this roster, they are willing to do dirty work too. And that's why I'm like pretty excited about the run game. That matters. Like these guys are willing to, and that's why those bubbles look good too, is because all the guys on the outside are working their asses off. Like this, that matters. And I people think I'm always joking about that stuff. I'm like, no, like this stuff adds up. Like if you want a good run game, these guys got to get dirty and they're all willing to do it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. If you want a good running game and if you want to get explosives in the run game, because it's one thing to get 4 yards. It's another to get that next block. And that's when it unlocks. And all of a sudden a dude's loose in the secondary. And certainly we're hoping to see that in Washington and wherever the burgundy and gold uniforms travel this season. Nate Tice, you don't have to travel to see him. No, he comes to you via your television on the NFL Network, your mobile device, or wherever you listen to your podcast, Football 301 from Yahoo Sports, and of course his articles on Yahoo's website as well. Nate, always appreciate it. Let's try to do this more often, although we don't have to spend the better part of an hour together every time, unless you want to. If you want to basically work for our radio station, you're more than welcome anytime.
You're like, it's going to be 20 minutes. You can go under if you want to. And I was like, yeah, always bet the over. It's
live from Vegas. Bet the over. Nate Tice, everybody. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. I needed this moment of levity, Anthony. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Wrapping up the show. Do we have things for real things today?
Yeah, I pulled a couple things.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. What are you up to this weekend?
So immediately following the show, I will be getting on a flight to Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't know you were heading out of town this weekend.
Yes, sir. Every weekend this
month?
Every week for the rest of the year. What? I'll be going down. Well, not to Atlanta. I'll be
Oh, are you doing the college football stuff again?
Yes, sir. HBCU. Nice. HBCU go.
So what are you doing for them this year? Are you like spotting, doing stats?
Yes, I'm spotting during stats. But before games, I'll be getting like some reps and things of that nature.
Oh, so Anthony, a little pregame analyst?
Something like that.
I'm Anthony Haney for HBCU go.
Yeah, so I'm going to be going down there.
So what game you got this weekend?
So this weekend we have Clark Atlanta at Fayetteville State. Fayetteville's pretty good. Clark Atlanta has a quarterback that I liked last year, so hopefully, you know, they've put together a couple of more pieces. But I'm excited, I'm not gonna lie.
So hon, if you're doing this every weekend though, how are you gonna get to NFL games so you can test the power of the curse and whether it's over?
So the crazy thing is I'm actually going to week 3 Colts Bears, and I think my game week 3 is in Richmond. So I'll be flying out of Richmond late Saturday night, and I'll just, I mean, I don't see Zaire on Saturdays anyway. He usually have team things to do. Right. So I'll just get up with my line brothers. They'll pick me up, and then we'll go to the game, and then Monday morning I'll fly out and
be back here for work.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Racking up the flight miles.
I am indeed, and the good thing about covering, you know, or being able to go city to city, my employer paid for my flight and they use my flight mileage. So it's a great
thing. Yeah, you get the frequent flyer miles.
Yes.
They pay. That's how it was when I was on the beat. Bro, one of my favorite years was when we played the NFC AFC West, because I got way more miles that year because the flights were all the way across the country. And so like that part of it sucked. Like there's a couple long flights, but like, realistically, the AFC West that year, like, I think we had Kansas City and it was Kansas City and LA. And then the NFC West was like LA and Seattle. So, like, LA, Seattle, that was long. And obviously, LA was twice, but like, one of those was in December when it was cold as hell here. And that was sweet. And then Kansas City's relatively, like, that's as far east as you can go for a West team. So, like, really wasn't that bad, but I got to nice little chunk of miles. So that was nice. But yeah, I'm in town for a couple more weeks. This weekend, chilling. Next weekend, chilling. And then we go to Indy for Fever Aces.
Yep.
That's a couple weeks. I'll be doing the show from out there.
Yep.
Because we're doing stuff, but like I got to still do the show, but I'll just be doing it from a hotel room in Indy, which is fine.
Yeah, we were trying to see if we could cross paths, but we're probably not. Also, the U.S. Open, Tiafoe, Ben Shelton matches ended.
Who won?
Tiafoe won in 5.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was watching it.
That's
the fourth and fifth set, he took it to
I'm
him.
I'm bummed that I missed it. Yeah. But we had good stuff on the show today. What was your favorite part of the show today?
Favorite part of the show?
Standing was great today, talking about all the agent stuff.
Stanek was good. I like Nate Tice, though, you know, breaking down the X's and O's, the NFL trends, and, you know, seeing who's putting what into their offenses and their defenses. But I was more so interested in the offensive side of the ball, you know?
Yeah. So check that out in the Hoffman Show podcast feed. You got all weekend to do it. In fact, you got Monday, too. Labor Day, we're off. Obviously, we'll have great local programming, Linnell, Denton, you know, all your usual cast of characters that you'd expect on a holiday weekend to be here on Monday. All right, Ant, let's see what you got in your magic bag of tricks on a Friday. It's time for Real Things Real People Said into real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be f***ing this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, what do we got?
All right, so we got a couple of things. I guess we're only really going to have time for one of these. So I'm going to go. Should we go Mark Cuban or Maverick Carter?
You tell me. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know how long the bites are. Make a decision quickly.
They're both a minute. So Maverick Carter was on the Pat McAfee show.
We don't have time for either of them. If they're both a minute long, the show's over in exactly 1 minute and 5 seconds. We don't have time for that.
All right. Here's one from yesterday. Mizzou versus Murray State. That was a bad lead up, but I'll explain.
3 points secure. Now 51-0. That might be one of the guys that needed it. Actually, you know what? I guarantee
I'm just
that
guessing.
Guy. I guarantee.
I'm just guessing. He was excited about what that field goal did.
A little too fired up.
Sounds like maybe perhaps a line was crossed.
Yes. Yeah, so the point spread or the line spread for Murray State versus Mizzou was 50.5, and the field goal by Mizzou with
51.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
AK, that's going to wind up on Van Pelt's bad beats.
It will indeed.
That's a rough one. But happy college football, land of bad beats. Enjoy the first weekend of it. We'll talk about some of it on Tuesday, and then it's NFL Week 1. We'll see you then. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.